Broadcasting worldwide to make a difference, this is Positive Impact Radio.
All right, when I say this word, many of us get just a negative feeling from this word. It's never a comfortable word. When you hear it, you know you've got a challenge with this word. The word I'm talking about is mold. So imagine finding out that you've got a mold situation in your home, but even before that, your kids are sick. You're sick. You don't know why. And then it's actually mold. That happened. That nightmare happened to somebody. We're going to talk with her about it today, and also somebody who stepped in to help her. She is Emily Sarcone. She's with us today. Welcome, Emily. How are you doing?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's good to have you here. And the gentleman that essentially came to her rescue, and there's a whole backstory here. He's Travis. He owns Elite Restoration and Construction in Holbrook. He joins us today. Welcome, Travis.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
It's an interesting story you have, Emily, in that your kids were losing their hair. They were sick. They had lots of different symptoms. Tell us about that. And then the fact that you didn't know that it was mold.
So for a long time, I bought an older home. I was happy to have a roof over my head and put my kids in school. And then everything was fine until my daughter started losing her hair. And she had purple bags under her eyes. So I went to, long story short, I went to about maybe 100 doctors. They said it was allergies. They said it was alopecia. And my past history, I used to be a cosmetologist. So I demanded a scalp scraping, and it came up positive for mold fungus on the scalp. I went to rheumatologists, hematologists, endocrinologists. Her thyroid levels were out of control. Her liver levels were out of control. They were just no answers, and I was losing my mind. And then probably a year into living into the house, it was raining in my closet. So previously I used to do demolition, and in my thought and me being a DIY person, I just kind of demoed my whole house, saying, let's just get it out. I didn't see the mold. I didn't see any black spots or water stains on the ceiling. Mm-hmm. I couldn't see it at all. So I just demoed it. And the more I got deeper into it, I seen a lot of moisture hidden under the ceiling, under the popcorn tiles on my ceiling. So I started demoing it, and I don't know.
Wow. How did you make the connection that it was mold? Was it the scalp test? Did that do it?
That kind of confirmed it. I had no clue. I lived in mold growing up. Like, black mold was not scary growing up in my grandma's house. So I didn't put two and two together until I started working for Travis, because the molds came up. I met Travis. It was kind of all the same timing. And
see, that I want to get to that right now. Let's go there. You started working with Travis for his restoration and construction company that does mold remediation. It's almost like the universe sent you there. Like, you've got a problem, and then you get a job at this place, and then they help you get rid of the mold. But how did you make that connection that it was definitely mold?
I was a bartender, and one of my customers knew Travis and worked with him. So he told me I was going to work at this golf outing, and I thought I was going to bartend at this golf outing. And I get there, and I ended up working at this mold table. And that's like the same time I found out my daughter had mold fungus on her scalp.
Wow.
So I'm like, wow, I can't believe, like, you do this. And then he kind of just was like, he's very sweet, and he kind of just was doing his thing. And I asked if I can work for him, and he's like, go right ahead. He didn't even know my story or anything. He kind of just took a shot in the dark. I had no experience at all.
Wow. So, well, you did, but you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't know that you had experience, and because you were dealing with it in real life. Travis, that these stories that you hear a lot, that people have mold, they don't realize, you know, the whole situation, how severe it is.
It's quite often that happens. A lot of times people, you know, sometimes they think they just have allergies, and they're, you know, they think their allergies are acting up, or they have a funny smell but can't really pinpoint what's going on. More often than not, people, you know, have mold lurking around their house that they are unaware of, whether it's from a, ongoing leak or some flooding that happened that wasn't dried out properly. You know, whether it's a backup from your toilet with the contaminated water that will absolutely start to grow grow microbial growth very quickly. So it is a pretty common occurrence that people are highly allergic to mold, and mold can affect people in many different ways. And some people, it's a very high risk. So yeah, it is a common occurrence. And you know, people don't, unless you see it, you don't really realize it's there. And once you see the black staining, usually it's been going on for quite some time, and it's all those spores. You know, it takes tens of hundreds of thousands of spores to start to see the actual visual mold on the walls, which means it's probably airborne as well. So you're breathing that in anytime you walk in the room. The door opens or closes, it's stirring up the air in the room, and it starts to spread. It can get on your clothing, in your bed, your mattress, pillows. It's definitely a very concerning issue.
You bring up a really great point in that, okay, we've identified it in the bathroom. We saw the telltale black spots and everything going on there. But there's more going on than that. Like you said, you open the door, those spores, whoosh, they're airborne. They're everywhere. They're attaching themselves to things. When they do, how long do they live?
So mold can actually start to grow within 48 hours, depending on the environment. Mold needs a food source, which is anything that was, you know, an organic compound, anything that was once living, which could be your sheetrock, could be your the insulation, the paper on the insulation, could be your wood flooring, your studs in the walls. So it needs that. It needs a food source. It needs moisture, and it needs to be in a dark area. So a lot of the times it's growing in people's basements that don't have dehumidification down there, which is something that should absolutely be down there. And I mean, it can grow, it can continue to grow and live for is until it gets resolved, and it tends to multiply. And again, it starts out, it's the spores are so microscopic that it's around us. You know, every home has some sort of microbial growth, and it all depends on how severe it is. You know, you don't, all that moisture that's getting behind a grout line in your bathroom that isn't sealed properly. And, you know, sometimes you start to see the mold on the outside of the sheetrock, and you're like, oh, I have a little bit of mold. But what you might not see is what's on the other side of the sheetrock, where it could have started because of a leak in the foundation, or, you know, water getting in through your J channel in the siding of your house, or a window that's rotten. And it can be extremely severe, and you don't realize it because it's hidden until it's not, until it's exposed.
I hear black mold. That's for years. That's like, you know, red lights go off in my head. Is black mold really that bad?
Black mold, which is stocky botrys, which is the worst mold, in my opinion, in most professionals' opinion, that's the mold that can get you very sick very quickly. And it could give you a death sentence, really. Now, what some people don't realize is they see the black staining on the walls. It's not necessarily stocky botrys at that point. It could just be a different type. There's thousands of different strains of mold out there. And, you know, you could have black mold and it could actually be green, or it could be yellow or growing on the wall. So, okay. So black mold is because that's the common color that's discovered. And that's typically the worst mold that you can encounter. So black mold, again, it's not always black, and not all of the black mold is stocky botrys.
We're learning stuff here today, because when I think black mold, I see mold and it looks black. I'm thinking that's black mold, but it doesn't necessarily have to be, right?
Right. And when you do see the black mold or the different funny colors growing on the wall, it's absolutely a concern at that point, whether it is stocky botrys, penicillium. There's again, so many different strains that affect everybody differently, right? Black mold is the one that seems to get into your system and affect you the most known and obvious, but a lot of these other molds, they can, you know, when I was learning about mold 22 years ago, I heard a story about somebody who was eating buffalo wings with blue cheese. The blue cheese went down the wrong pipe, and he was allergic to mold, and he died because the blue cheese went down the wrong pipe, and it started to attack his immune system.
When you remediate that mold, first of all, let's go back to Emily's situation. What kind of mold was that? What did you have?
It was aspergillus. It was actually green on my ceiling, but underneath all of the layers of ceiling tiles or whatever I had, it was black and wet. So Like Travis said, like once you aggravate it, and the instead of having like 100 spores just sitting on the outside layer, once you put a hammer to it, it spreads to like a million little spores. And that's what happened to me. I got sicker after I demoed it. So wow. Once I went to the company, the field gave me an air scrubber, the machine. They went in, fogged my whole house, contained it properly, which I should have done. And I didn't. So they saved me.
So you were trying to deal with this on your own.
Yeah, I did bleach, which is like everyone thinks to use bleach, but actually that's like the worst thing to do. I got a severe nose rash. I thought I was allergic to bleach, but it was actually the gas, the bleach, and the not necessarily the mold, but mold creates this like mycotoxin, which is what is harmful. The mold is not really technically harmful for you, but the chemical that it produces. So
wow.
I use bleach on everything. So I didn't smell, my house didn't smell musty at all until I left for a couple months and then I came back. And then I was like, oh my God, I smell the must, because you get nose blind to it.
You're used to it. And it's such a strong, pungent smell that after a while it's like, yeah, I got this. It's all right. It's not so bad. But it was really bad. Travis, when you go in to remediate a mold situation, what's involved? Is it hazmat suits kind of material here? Or what are we talking about?
Yes, in most cases, it's full Tyvek, full PPE, full face respirators, completely covered head to toe. Because again, you can cross contaminate if you are just wearing, you know, street clothing, and you walk from one room to the other, and with that clothing on, you're spreading it throughout the house. So the most important thing is containment, identifying where it is and containing those areas. So the things don't happen like that happened to Emily and her family, where she opened up her ceiling and it spread significantly throughout the house. So we like to contain the areas. Typically, you want to eliminate the source. So let's say it's on your sheetrock. You want to pull the sheetrock down. You want to expose the areas, seal the problem, you know, definitely fix the source, whether that's, you know, containing, sealing up an area, whether it's your, crack in your foundation or what have you. But then you want to dry everything out. That's one of the most important parts, is drying it out and applying an antimicrobial. If you don't dry it out and you just take your sheetrock down and you think, oh, the mold's gone, I'm going to put this back up, you're just going to get more mold. It's going to come back. And what has to happen is it has to be completely dry. You use an antimicrobial, which, again, mold is microbial growth. So by applying the antimicrobial, you eliminate it. And in some of the severe cases, we would encapsulate with an antimicrobial paint. Comes in white. A lot of people probably have seen the white, but it's also a clear coating. Once everything is sealed up, then you're able to put everything back and put the sheetrock back up and put the floors down and put everything back. But the biggest thing is containment and preventing cross-contamination. Also, we use HEPA filtration. So it's a triple HEPA filtration device, air scrubbers or negative air that we use, which eliminates the spores. It goes through the HEPA filtration and it picks up a lot of the spores. And with the negative air, it eliminates it out of the home and negatively pulls it through the areas and out the typically outside.
You're like a scientist. seriously, it's like, Travis, how did you get into this?
So let's see, I've been doing this about 22 years, and I was just a young kid looking for a job, and I went to one of the big restoration companies, and I liked the fact that every day was different, and I just started from the ground level and worked as a technician and worked my way up, got into the marketing, got into the management, eventually opened my company about eight years ago, I believe. So yeah, that's how I got into it. I didn't have a passion for it until I got into it, and you know, the passion is strong now with being able to help people out. It's, you know, it means a lot. It's something that I really enjoy doing and can help people out, educate them, and it's definitely a passion project that's turned into a lifestyle for me.
And you do full restoration. We're just focusing on mold today, but out of the years that you've worked in this industry, what's the worst situation you ever?
That's a great question. It really depends. I have a worst case scenario for crime scene cleanups.
All right, All right, we're going to stick with mold.
Yes.
we'll stick with mold. Those are for other podcasts.
For another day. Yeah. As far as mold, I mean, we've seen buildings that were some government buildings that were shut down, actually right here in Long Island. It's an old military base that it was, you wouldn't even have known what color the paint was on the walls. Everything was black from ceiling to floors, and it was highly toxic, and it was a project that we worked on for several months with, you know, the days range from 20 to 50 people a day, just remediating and eliminating and drying out and fixing the roof leaks and all of these other issues that all of these things added up to just complete, you know, you couldn't walk in there and you would get a headache within a minute if you weren't properly protected.
So you need to eliminate the source of moisture before you do anything, right?
Yes, you don't want to, it's almost like if you have a roof leak and you rip the sheetrock down and you clean everything up and you close it back, if you leave that roof exposed, it's just going to happen again and again. So absolutely, finding the source is big. And that's something that we do as part of our inspections, is we use thermal imaging cameras, kind of like the cameras they use to track the bad guys, mm-hmm. you know, the cops use. And yep. We can determine different gauges of temperature, which let us know that it looks like there's moisture there. And then we have our moisture meters, our invasive and non-invasive meters, that we can pinpoint an area, figure that out. And then it's a little bit of exploratory searching to really determine what's going on. Is it just here? Is it in multiple areas of the home? And how severe is it?
It's mind-blowing to think that we're all living with mold. I mean, it sounds like we are. You can't escape it. That's what I'm getting from you. The question is, how severe is it? What do you do for people? Let's say if somebody's listening, they're not really sure if they have a mold situation. Do you go in and do a test? How does that work?
Yes. So what we do is we work with several industrial hygienists, not dental hygienists, industrial hygienists, which basically are the guys that do the mold testing. We used to do our own mold testing for years, and a few years ago the government or the state of New York changed it where we cannot do remediation and be a hygienist on the same projects. So we've teamed up with some really great, I call them the scientists. They're the ones that are extremely knowledgeable. They come in and there's numerous tests that they can do. There's a swab test where it's like a Q-tip. They swab certain areas of the home. There's also an air sampling, which is a little more common. So they run a machine for about 15 minutes in each area. What they do is they find a control, meaning they'll take a sample from the outside, and then they'll take the samples on the inside. And the way they look at it is, after they get the test results back, they say, all right, well, you have elevated levels in the house that are more elevated than the exterior, which becomes a health concern. So as long as your levels inside are lower than the outside, the way it's looked at is it's not a dangerous situation. But when you do have the elevated levels inside, because obviously outside there's a lot going on, the wind's always blowing, there's all of the moisture that's constantly there. So they do the testing, and then the next thing is a protocol. So we work very close with the hygienists on a protocol situation where we look at it. It's our step-by-step guide on how to resolve this. They determine the types of mold, and then from there determine how to resolve the situation. And we work together, we come up with a game plan, and then we execute. And that, you know, that protocol could be anything from just wiping a small section of a room on a wall, or demoing an entire building. It all depends on what's determined and what's found. They'll drill holes in the walls and check behind your sheetrock or under the flooring. There's not one real way to figure it out. Every situation is a little bit different.
When you find a situation, you know you've got something going on. You identified it for a homeowner. Does insurance do anything for this?
Yes and no. One of the big things that I would definitely advise to everybody listening is talk to your insurance broker or your agent and find out if you have any mold coverage. It's an addendum to your policy that will give you. Typically, there's a cap. You know, it could be $5,000. It could be $50,000 cap. But if you don't have that and you have mold and it's not sudden and accidental, which mold typically isn't, that it's an underlying issue. I did a project where we noticed a little bit of water behind the refrigerator. We pulled it out. The wall was wet. We ended up taking all the cabinets down and it was infested with black mold. And we went toe-to-toe with the insurance company because they didn't have mold coverage, and they were saying, well, it was an ongoing issue, and insurance covers sudden and accidental. So we did go back and forth. We did end up getting the homeowner covered, but it is something that you should absolutely look at on your policy to determine if you have any coverage for any microbial growth, because without that, you could be out of pocket, and it's not an inexpensive procedure, unfortunately, because it is very detailed and it's time consuming, and we all have to be safe and protect the home and protect our staff, you know, and make sure that the homeowner comes back to a happy, healthy home.
So mold could happen in any situation, but for me, hearing all of this, I would think if you have an older home, it's a no-brainer. Get the mold rider on your insurance.
Absolutely. It's definitely more prevalent in older homes because, you know, we call them matured homes where they've been going through a lot. You know, they've aged. Some have aged well, some have not. Some have picked up some cracks and wrinkles along the way, which can definitely be concerns, especially when you don't know they're there, when they're hidden behind the sheetrock or the plaster or under your flooring or in your crawl space that a lot of people don't look in their crawl space. So it's, or even in your duct system, your HVAC is definitely an area where mold can fester. And once it's in your HVAC and your air conditioning units, every time that kicks on, it's sending it through all of those vents or out of the air conditioning unit. And you have to think those are areas that they're dark. There is usually a food source from dirt and debris buildup, and they're damp. They're, you know, the condensation is sure. There. So the humidity starts to rise when the machines are off, and that can be, it can be devastating to a home.
I can't even imagine it. I don't want to get too granular here, but if it's identified in your HVAC system, what do you do at that point? Let's say it's something severe like black mold. Are we talking about taking all the ductwork out, or can you eradicate it somehow without doing that?
So it depends on your system. If you have the hard duct system, which most people do have in most areas of their home, but you can also have the soft flex ducts, which typically have insulation in those would need to be replaced. Unfortunately, those cannot be cleaned. But the hard ducts, there are different ways to get in there and do a very thorough cleaning to eliminate what's there. But then you could also have issues with your coils and on the actual condenser and the machine that's typically outside or in your attic. If there's mold there, that has to be taken apart and very thoroughly cleaned. So it's to get the inspection is so important, just because you don't know what you're dealing with until you know what you're dealing with.
Wow. Emily, what do you say to somebody, you know, just with the thing that you went through, life-changing, and again, I believe things happen for a reason. You met Travis because you were supposed to. You needed that. What do you say to somebody that even suspects that maybe their family's a little ill, they can't figure out what it is?
I would say go right to a functional doctor. I wasted 2 years trying to find an answer for my kids. They kept saying they were fine, and they weren't. My oldest daughter had chronic nosebleeds. They said that was normal. My youngest daughter started passing out from belly pain. They said that was normal. And it all stemmed down to mold. So I honestly, I would say go straight to a functional doctor, which is also pricey. Health insurance does not cover anything related to mold. They tell me that they're not trained for it, or they just think I'm crazy, but I'm not alone in this. I'm part of so many mold groups and forums, and they all have the same issues as me, my kids. I had severe brain fog, so for everyone and every parent out there, I would say you're not crazy, you're not alone, and don't do it, don't DIY. I'm a big DIY person. I'm very cheap. I don't like to pay anything, but I'll go to Target and spend $500 on nothing. I'd rather spend $100 in an air test to see what's going on and put my savings into a remediation, like a professional, in a professional setting.
Sure. Wow. What a story. Both of you, thank you so much for being here and spreading the word. Elite Restoration and Construction, you guys are in Holbrook. What's the website?
Our website is elitetotherescue.com. So it's www.elite2therescue.com.
And there's a lot of information on the website alone. Testing is available. You guys do that, correct?
We can definitely, we can do a visual inspection. And if it's something that we feel that needs to be, to get a hygienist involved, we work with some really amazing people that, you know, we only work with people that we trust. So yes.
I go by, if your gut is telling you that you have a challenge or something's going on, get it tested. Don't take any chances. And thankfully, your family's okay now. Right, Emily?
We're getting there. It's a long, still a long journey. But, I mean, my house is better thanks to Travis and Elite Restoration.
And now you work for them.
And now I work for them I can be, so I can spread the, keep everyone informed.
It's almost as if you're an advocate, you know?
I'm definitely an advocate.
Without a doubt.
Definitely. Both of you, Emily and Travis, thanks for being here today.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you for having us.
Appreciate
it. Worldwide, to make a difference, this is Positive Impact Radio.